You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com and joined by my colleague Chris Haft, who covers the Giants beat for MLB.com. And the big news, really the only news going on with the Giants, well, besides the fact that they're fighting for what looks to be a wild card spot at this point, even though the division is still somewhat within reach. The big news is, of course, Tim Lincecum and the Giants trying to figure out what to do with him. And at this point, what they're figuring out to do with him is to put him in the bullpen and see if he can sort of get himself straightened out. So let's bring in Chris Haft. Chris, let's talk a little bit about that. They bumped Lincecum from the rotation, and instead of starting Thursday, he'll work out of the bullpen. So what is going on with that? And is this going to be sort of an experimental time? And do they know ultimately where he's going to end up?
Allison, I think they'd like to see him back in the starting rotation. Not obviously. I mean, it's beyond a question, beyond a shadow of a doubt. They'd love to see him back in the rotation, pitching as he did earlier in the year when he won four straight starts, a stretch that was kicked off by his no-hitter against the Padres. I mean, he looked like he had succeeded in that his little transition from power pitcher to finesse pitcher. But he apparently his mechanics have gotten a little scrambled since then, and lately they've just not been good at all. And so what they've done is moved him out of rotation, not necessarily even put him in the bullpen. I mean, I don't think they trust him with a relief appearance right now, unless it was a lopsided thing. They want to see if he can get his mechanics back and before he even put him in the game from here on out. So you mentioned experimental. It's for him personally, it's very much an experimental time.
And it's just got to be so frustrating for everybody. I mean, I was saying, besides Lincecum, who obviously I'm sure is just beside himself with all of this, but it's just been such a it just seems like, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago, he was pitching out of the bullpen throughout the postseason. And then, you know, people were kind of wondering what was going on with him there, what's his future going to be, and then he'll just, like, throw a no-hitter. It makes no sense. But since the All-Star break, 8 games, 7 starts, 1-4 record, and 8.07 ERA. So, I mean, do you think that the frustration is getting to him? Do you think that that's taken its toll? Is that kind of adding to this whole thing?
I think it's all of the above. It's taken its toll. It's added to it's exacerbated the problem. I don't think it's irreversible, but his delivery is a set of moving parts. Partly because he is a smallish type of guy, as everybody knows, and he's got to have his mechanics working. Everything's got to be right and synchronized, with his delivery for it to produce pitches that, not to sound too much like a physics professor, but, impart the necessary, force upon his pitches. And, if one little thing's off, it can just throw off the whole thing. So, that's what he's trying to get back in the bullpen. I think he does have he's dealt with adversity a lot, even on a major league level. He's had, entire months where he's pitched poorly and then came back to pitch very effectively the following month. They're hoping he can do this sort of thing again.
So I have to talk to you a little bit about this recent series in Chicago when that was one of the more interesting couple of days, I think, that anybody's had. Having covered many, many games at Wrigley Field, I know what it's like when that rain starts. And sometimes it just feels like it's going sideways right into the press box, and you feel like you're just in the middle of basically a hurricane, and it can just come on just like that. So just over those couple days, can you kind of describe what that was like? I mean, they protested the game. That protest ended up getting held up. They essentially played a doubleheader to finish the game that was called when it shouldn't have been because the grounds crew seemed to not be able to get the tarp on time. And so what was that whole thing, just like waiting 4.5 hours for them to basically call the game, and you feel like you're just stuck at Wrigley Field for days at a time? I know how that feels.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been so bad if there are worse places to be stuck at, but, we weren't in the outfield seats drinking beer or anything. So
right.
The sheets of rain you described, we only saw that for brief periods. I mean, right before they called the game, there was only a little bit of rain, but when you saw the grounds crew start out by putting down the tarp incorrectly, you got the sense that something was going to go wrong. I mean, we couldn't have predicted the entire chain of events, but step one is getting the tarp down correctly. That's just the way it is at any park with any grounds crew. And the fact they didn't do that, well, when it came time to remove the tarp, they ended up inadvertently soaking the second base area where the second baseman would play and where the shortstop would play. And it just looked like melted chocolate ice cream, the infield did. So then you really, that increased the sense, you know, because we're watching all this, you know, that things weren't going to go well. And then when, Bruce Bochy, a couple of Giants coaches, one or two Cubs people, and the umps would, pace the area, they didn't like how soft it was, and it was going to be too risky for the infielders, risking injury. So, but the whole thing was just, it just seemed like it took more time than needed to, and can't say it was bizarre. It was frustrating for all onlookers.
I can imagine. So it was part of the problem that, that torrential downpour is not supposed to happen. So it's supposed to be a light rain. And then it starts, and I guess that the umpire has to signal for the grounds crew to come out and bring out the tarp. Is that what part of the problem was, that he just didn't act quickly enough?
That was part of the problem. The umps defended themselves. I believe Hunter Wendelstedt was a crew chief. He pointed out that the local radar, didn't show any storm, big heavy storms in the area. And so they didn't know that this little 10-minute downpour was going to occur. That was part of the problem. So the people were not at alert as they should have been. So it was just a combination of, as Hunter Wendelstedt himself, in fairness, did say, it was just a combination of unfortunate events.
I guess I could call it the perfect storm. Ha, ha, ha. Moving on, that's my small attempt at humor. Moving on, so Buster Posey possibly living to first base, this seems to be a yearly discussion, which is what happens when you have a catcher who may have had a couple of injury issues in the past and you're trying to get some longevity out of him. There seems to be no plan to do that now, but you did mention some facts that could possibly sway them down the road. He actually does perform better at first base offensively, but he's only had like 22 games there. But he does have a .385 average when he's playing first base. But what do you think? Just looking down the road, you think that they will eventually decide to move him?
I think they'll kind of ease into it, Allison. You covered a guy, and I covered the same guy at the beginning of his career. I covered him when he started making the transition. That would be Craig Biggio. You got to witness what the fruits of his, the switch were, the long-term effect and effectiveness of the switch. I was there when he made the switch, and at first he did it kicking and screaming. He didn't want to, his identity was as a catcher. He didn't want to move. It ended up being the best thing for him. Buster is very much the same way. He feels his identity is as a catcher. He feels his most effective to the organization, as most valuable to the organization as a catcher. He's probably right. But, they also, again, as you point out, they want to get some longevity out of him, increase production. So they've got, moreover, they have some decent catching prospects. Andrew Susak, and when he's healthy, this year he's been plagued by concussions, with Hector Sanchez, a switch hitter. So, they have some alternatives there behind the plate. It's a combination of circumstances they're going to have to iron out. I think eventually we might see Buster play maybe first base more and more, just a little more gradually by the year in the next few years. And then, finally when Susak's completely ready to play regularly, or Hector Sanchez, maybe they go with a three catcher alignment. It's going to be it'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't really have a good answer right now, but a lot may weigh on whether Pablo Sandoval sticks around. He's up for free agency at the end of the year. If they need to find somebody to play third base, well, Buster's been mentioned as a possibility. I don't think that's a position he would he would or wants to play, but he's more cut out for first base. But they say catchers can pretty much, they're so nimble, even though they get a bad rep as being out of shape and all that, thick, fat, whatever. Most catchers are capable of playing in field and outfield positions, usually corner spots. So if they had to put Buster at third base, maybe they could do it short term.
Wow, that's interesting. I've never heard of third base. And I guess half the game.
I don't think it's very likely, but it's been thrown out there as an idea.
And they have to also convince the player. Like Buster would have, not that he gets the final say, but he needs to be a willing participant in this whole thing. I know that is kind of an uphill battle a lot with organizations when they're trying to do something like this.
Well, there you go. So until it gets to the point where they ask Buster and it becomes public, it's all speculation. Nobody knows for sure. But I think all signs point to him not being a regular everyday catcher in the future. I know there's a lot of qualifiers in that statement, but I just don't see him. I just don't see him playing 140 games behind a plate 10 years or more, like Johnny Bench or something.
Yeah, it takes a special kind of guy, and it takes a lot of luck to avoid injuries. And they don't come along that often. It always amazed me that Brad Ausmus did not spend a day on the DL until his final season, his 18th season in the big leagues. And most catchers that you see, former catchers, you see them walking around now as managers, coaches, broadcasters. You know, the guys in their 50s and 60s and they can barely walk because they've had like 12 knee surgeries.
Yeah.
Anyway, one last question. This Joe Panic thing. So his last name, I'm sure everybody's making jokes about Panic with a K, Panic with a C. Is everybody trying to do a play on words with him, and is it getting old and annoying for an everyday reporter like yourself?
Believe it or not, there's been almost complete absence of puns.
Oh,
I know,
man.
It may come as a surprise, but I've seen, I made a promise to myself I wouldn't use it in print, but I actually did once, but I'm not going to do it again, probably. I mean, I just wanted to point, it was after he had a 3 or 4 hit game, and I just basically want to point out that this guy does not panic. I mean, he's a rookie, but he's extremely cool, extremely level-headed, and he just may end up being their second baseman of the future.
Yeah, I guess if he was just like a complete bust, then all the headlines would be like, everybody panic! And but I guess you can't do that when the guy's playing well, so, which is good. I'm happy for him. So with that, I will sadly let you go. But we will catch up with you next week, and I appreciate your time, Chris. Thank you.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.